Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lectionary, or the lessons for today, take us from the road to Emmaus and hearing how the Lord works through His Word, enlightening two disciples so that they finally understand what Jesus had repeatedly taught them before He was crucified, to hearing how our Lord, working through His Word in sacraments, added to their number that day those who were being saved. And that number was miraculous, in the thousands. But day by day, the Lord works through His means of grace administered by His church and gathers His elect from the ends of the earth, working where and when He wills. And as He does so, His church and angels in heaven rejoice. Now, the birth of a child might seem so common, yet we acknowledge that each child should be seen as a miracle and gift by our Creator, the author of life. But what are they born into? Because of the fall into sin, each birth is a birth into spiritual death. Whether a child is born in America, Africa, or Europe, the newborn breathes the air of a fallen and sin-corrupted creation that ends in death until Christ returns. And from the moment of conception, the reality is we're in an era of everlasting death, as King David was inspired to write, "I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So in reality, it's not at birth, per se, that the angels of heaven rejoice, not even at the birth of children to Christian parents. Although the world's population grows with the birth of each new child, Christ's church does not grow until that child is given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Such children, along with others who were living in darkness of unbelief, are no different than those who were hearing St. Peter preach that day. "Let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Everyone who has ever been born needs to hear the apostolic message. All of mankind needs to hear those very words. They are responsible for the death of Jesus. Everyone, the most aged to the infant, each of us, from Adam to Cain and Abraham and Hagar, Moses, Peter, Paul, and you, all of us, because of our sins, crucified our Lord and Savior. And St. Peter continues, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And just as the word of the Lord was effective that day when God inspired Peter to proclaim it, it still cuts us to the heart. It still reveals our sinfulness, our true condition, and our everlasting need. And by Spirit-wrought faith, true and heartfelt sorrow and contrition follow the words conviction of the heart when it enables us to realize the awful truth that we are poor, miserable sinners, that we stand guilty apart from Christ. And so we ask, 'What must I do?' There are the tendencies that we possess that there's surely something that we can do to be right with God, some good deed, a pilgrimage, a mission, a devoted life, a large offering, a list of good works to somehow balance the scales. But to think in such a way would be to admit that the Lamb of God's death wasn't sufficient and that He didn't really mean what He said from the cross, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' The Spirit works through the law until it has had its fullest effect, cutting our hearts, revealing our true condition. And then what?" Our text. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." In other words, receive the Holy Spirit wrought, that is, the Spirit-wrought gifts of repentance, and receive that gift through faith. And I hope you notice that no one is excluded here, because Peter makes certain that those who hear the word of God know this truth. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And so that there be no misunderstanding, God has Peter repeat this truth. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Fellow redeemed, the promise of God is for you and your children. It's intended for Jew and Gentile, male and female, slave and free, old and young, individuals from all nations, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And where there's forgiveness of sins, there's also salvation and eternal life and an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And in order for the promise to be for you and your children, it was necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory. That the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance to the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all nations. The Son of God came into this world to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. To win for us the gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation, even for a child just born. God's gift of forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation are given through word and sacrament, through word and baptism. For the word of God declares, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior." So who's the one who washes and cleanses the little ones who are brought to this font? Our Lord does that through the office He instituted. And baptizing with water signifies what? That the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sin and evil lusts, and again a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. St. Paul was inspired to write to the church in Rome, "You're buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life." Over the years, Trinity Lutheran Church has been blessed to witness God's miracle of giving life to little ones who were born again. Because Christ died and rose from the grave for them, their sins are forgiven. And they receive through the gift of faith new and eternal life. In baptism, He buries them with Himself to rise again to walk in newness of life. Jesus connects them and you to His atoning death that your sins caused. And I've heard it said that in baptism, Jesus took us into, through, and out of His empty tomb. Which means that your sins and mine, and the sins of the world, were placed upon the incarnate Lord. He died and is risen so that you might live. And in holy baptism, God actually gives the gift of life. So why don't we remember that truth every time we wash our hands or take a bath? Why do we poo-hoo the fact that we were buried with Christ in our baptism? Could it be because so many have been led to believe that baptism was their work somehow, and not God's? Fellow redeemed, repentance and baptism are not our doing at all. These are the works of God, and He has given them as His gift. And in and through baptism, God cleanses us from all our sins. It is He who rescues us from the power of the devil and gives us everlasting life. And God imparts to each of us personally the gifts that the Lamb of God won for the world through His life, suffering, death, and resurrection. So do you think everyone hearing St. Peter's sermon agreed with what he was inspired to preach? No. The Word of God being what it is and doing what it does, I guarantee that there were those who were offended by his preaching of the Word. Those who denied the promise of forgiveness intended for them and for their children, as well as rejecting God's means of grace, namely baptism. They did not add their silent amen to his preaching. But thanks be to God, others did. They gladly heard the good news, and those who accepted that message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And as a result of that word being preached in all its truth and purity, men, women, infants, aged, all those who received the word in faith devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In response to the truth of the gospel, they devoted themselves to correct doctrine and treasuring all things that Jesus had given them in and by his holy and inerrant word. Oneness in doctrine preceded their confession of the one holy apostolic faith into the prayers, that is, to specific prayers like the Lord's Prayer and the praying of the Psalms. This congregation's confession of the faith is sung in her Magnificats, her Te Deums, her Psalms of Confession, thanksgiving, pleas, and petitions, which are the prayers of the faithful gathered together in the name of the Lord. And the liturgy of the church is nothing more and certainly nothing less than the song of salvation by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Sung in the very presence of the Lord. And as the bride of Christ continues to sing such praises, little ones whom we've seen baptized at this font are learning the truths that will sustain them for a lifetime. And these truths are sung by the church in hymn stanzas like, "Day by day, at home, away, Jesus is my staff and stay. When I hunger, Jesus feeds me, into pleasant pastures leads me. When I thirst, he bids me go, where the quiet waters flow." So we remain committed. We remain devoted to the teaching of these little ones, the same apostolic message, the same teaching of the apostles that they were given by the Lord, to prepare them for that day when they will join their parents at the Lord's table, and for that day when they will be at the everlasting marriage feast of the Lamb who was slain and who was alive forevermore. Thanks be to God, our Lord continues the work. While it may not be as miraculous as that day with thousands, he continues to add to their number day by day those who are being saved. Day by day, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he gives them the gift of faith and then showers them with the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We are privileged to behold what has taken place for centuries among us, namely that the Lord is faithful. He adds to the number of his redeemed. It is he who continues to save. It is he who will continue to do so until he returns as our King and Judge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.